is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Arizona Supreme Court has paved the way for a civil-era ban on abortion to become law.
We continue to live under an unacceptable ban, a law that still strips Arizonans of their personal autonomy and has no exceptions for women who are the victims of rape or incest or any regard for pregnancy complications.
Governor Katie Hobbs calls the ruling draconian. Vice President Harris met today with the families of several Americans who were taken hostage by Hamas on October 7th. In an interview with Univision, meanwhile, President Biden appeared to call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza without tying it to a hostage deal. Japan's prime minister is in Washington. He's going to meet with the president tomorrow, and he'll attend a state dinner tomorrow night. Federal court has ruled that California can set its own strictest in the nation vehicle emission standards. Stocks closed mixed today. This is ABC News. Lawmakers in Hawaii are considering two pieces of legislation which would phase out short-term rentals if the owner doesn't live there. Residents have complained about the lack of affordable housing, and the 2023 Maui wildfire made the situation worse. A state tax representative has said short-term rentals in Hawaii are more profitable than renting to local families. What's in a name? Two California communities are at odds over an airport change.
Oakland, in an attempt to entice more travelers who may not know where Oakland is considering adding San Francisco Bay to its airport name. San Francisco doesn't like the idea. San Francisco's city attorney, David Chu.
We will have no choice but to pursue legal action.
If Oakland adds San Francisco to its airport name, San Francisco says it will be confusing for global travelers who think they're going to San Francisco but end up in Oakland.
The currently proposed name infringes on SFO's trademarks.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Body parts are turning up around Milwaukee County. A human leg was found in a park in Cudahy last week. Another body part was found in Milwaukee a few days later. The family of a missing teenager says it wants answers. Authorities can't confirm a connection, but they have brought in someone for questioning. Republicans like Congressman Brian Stiles say the student loan forgiveness program President Biden pitched in Madison Monday is a desperation move.
There's a reason he's doing it in the most progressive city in the state in targeting students. He's trying to buy votes.
Biden says it would free up millions of Americans burdened by debt and benefit the economy. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks reload. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks will try and snap a four-game losing streak at home when they host the number one seed Boston Celtics tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' Chris Middleton losing a tooth Sunday night after getting knocked in the face by former Bucks guard Dante DiVincenzo. He's now with the Knicks. It happened in the second quarter. Doc Rivers.
He went to the dentist, so yeah, I think he had to have dental surgery would be my guess. Not good, but it is what it is.
The Celtics have won 8 of their last 10 games. Baseball, the Brewers fell behind 8-0 last night in Cincinnati, but nearly came back. The Reds went on to win 10-8 over Milwaukee. It was the first time in over a year left-hander Aaron Ashby pitched following shoulder surgery.
Yeah, I thought Ashby was great. I really do. I mean, I didn't expect him to be that good. He threw great changeups, got a lot of swings and misses on it. For his first Major League start in a while, I thought he did great and deserves to be with us again.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the low 40s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high upper 60s to 70. Clouds return, becoming breezy with showers likely Thursday. High in the upper 50s, the wind could gust as high as 40 miles an hour. It's 55 right now.
Wednesday on the Maggie Dawn Show, I take on Trump lawyer, now disbarred attorney John Eastman. Turns out it was all a big pack of lies.
Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show, and I say that every day, even when we don't, but we really do this time, Haley.
Yes. And,
hey, we're going to start right off with Rachel Dion Thunder and our friend we haven't talked to in a long time, formerly of American Indian Movement and now the co-founder of Indigenous Protector Movement. And we see we have another young little Native with her. Welcome, Rachel.
Yeah, Dante, Robert, thanks for having us on. You know, a lot has happened since I was on the show, so this is our new daughter, Mean Dion. That's blueberry in Ojibwe. So she's 3 months old, so thanks for having us on and bearing with us here. But yeah, I wanted to come on and kind of talk about, I think, some recent things that have been happening here in Minnesota, but then just also in Indian country in general. So one of the bigger kind of organizing that we have done recently was we were actually reached out to by the Sioux Falls community. Some local organizers there, they reached out to Indigenous Protector Movement, to the American Indian Movement, and AIM Grassroots South Dakota, and Indian Collective for support and resources there in Sioux Falls in dealing with some of the police brutality there in the community. And so what we did here from the Minneapolis side is we organized a caravan on Friday. And so we caravaned from Powwow Grounds to Sioux Falls and participated in a march, a 2-mile march there in Sioux Falls that ended in a rally outside of the Sioux Falls Police Department. And just for a little bit of context, all of this kind of arose from recent events. There's a video circulating of the Sioux Falls Police Department, you know, using excessive force on a young man, Daniel, that was not resisting arrest. And what you don't see in the video is that they had already broken his arm. But what you do see in the video is them, you know, repeatedly punching him in the back of the head and then using their taser on him as he's actively not resisting arrest or anything like that. And they were even there arresting him based on a petty warrant. So for a nonviolent crime of petty theft. And so they used that kind of force on a young relative for a petty crime. But this is, they kind of have a track record there of violence against our people, against Native people. In 2022, they shot and killed Jacob James, which is another name from Sioux Falls there that, you know, we need to remember. And so what the march was to obviously draw attention to these recent events, to this recent track record of brutality, but to also put pressure on the Department of Justice to do an investigation into the Sioux Falls Police Department. So here in Minneapolis, like, we're at the tail end of that, right, Robert? You know, like, we got the results from the DOJ investigation, and now we're in this part of, like, the consent decree and oversight committees and that sort of thing. Right. Rapid City is just 9 months post requesting and having communication about a DOJ investigation into the Rapid City Police Department. And now we have another community, Sioux Falls community, at the very, very beginning stages where they haven't even been in communication yet with the Department of Justice. So there's a trend, and this is a trend that's been going on in Indian country for decades. The American Indian Movement was founded here in Minneapolis because of police brutality and the excess settler violence that was happening to our people. And it's just sad that we're in 2024 and dealing with the same issue. And obviously it takes us all coming together. It takes communities standing together, not only at their community level, but across Indian country, across Turtle Island, because this is an epidemic of settler colonial violence perpetrated through police departments against our people.
Absolutely. And I want to just give you a big shout out, and you and your husband and Indigenous Protector Movement for being there in action. I know we all get fired up and then we all disperse, but you guys are still boots on the ground, and I want to give you and your group a big shout out.
Yeah, thanks. It's just, that's what we do.
Yeah, it is. Oh, hey, just gave us the big fist there. I don't know if you're watching this. Right on. And we want to just is there any other call to action that our listeners can do? And I wanted to ask you that.
I would say that the biggest thing right now is reaching out to the Department of Justice and asking for an investigation into the Sioux Falls Police Department, and then to just asking them to also put pressure and continue their investigation in the Rapid City Police Department as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe later on the show, we can get that information up for our listeners to either email or call. Also, I know, well, we've been friends for a long time, and we also were able to keep in touch with you when you did your walk to Washington, D.C. to free Leonard Peltier. I've heard some reports lately. I wonder if you could give us an update on how he's doing and where we're at with that.
Right. So.
Oops. We lost Rachel, and I bet you a little baby accidentally muted or something.
Probably. But yeah, it's always great too to bring up what's going on with Leonard Peltier. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know, at the end of every episode for years, whether it was Wendy or me taking over now, we end with free Leonard Peltier now. And, you know, we just need to have more updates on what's going on. And
longest serving political prisoner, in the United States, and we want Leonard home, and we heard that, and Rachel is going to hopefully give us an update, but we're going to hear that he's not doing well, and you know, he's older, and so there's that. Rachel, can you hear us? Oh, I think baby had enough. I'm just like,
she wanted the microphone.
It's interviews over. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always great to see Rachel, Dion Thunder in the community. And, you know, like you said, they're the boots on the ground. And it's groups like Indigenous Protector Movement and AIM, you know, where we keep, you know, the support going. It's all year round. It's not just, you know, one protest. It's what can we do next? Where's the next one?
Right on. Yeah, it definitely. And I got to give a shout out too to the American Indian Movement grassroots, which is a somewhat newer offshoot of the American Indian Movement. And I know I think we got Rachel back. Rachel, the baby wanted no more interview.
Actually, Crow Belcourt called me and it cut my cut my feet. So yeah, I don't think we have enough time completely for an update, but I don't know. I could give a really quick one after the commercial break if that works, Robert.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds here too. So I mean, you can start it and then we'll go. Rachel, you're right again. All these women on the show are always right. We're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. Whether it's cracks in your existing sidewalks, steps, chimney restoration, or a whole new project, you can trust our team to ensure satisfaction through detailed planning and precision. Native Concrete and Masonry is a Native American-owned business, and we have worked with our clients throughout the Twin Cities metro area. We work closely with our clients to accomplish our initiatives. Learn more at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, do we still have Rachel here?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just taking care of my baby.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want any breastfeeding live on Native Roots
it's
Radio.
It's actually a diaper change live. We don't want that either.
We've heard of it. You know, explosive. Anyways, if we could get a quick update on the Leonard's status.
Of course. So I had talked to Kevin Sharp recently, Leonard Peltier's lawyer, and he gave me the update. You know, of course, Leonard is getting older. He's, you know, right around 80 years old now. Mm-hmm. And with that are all of his health concerns that have been compounded by the very limited care of, you know, the prison system over the years. So all of his issues from type 2 diabetes to an abdominal aortic aneurysm, which is fatal if ruptured, is just you know, being compounded by his age and lack of care that he has received over the years. And kind of a result of that recently is that, you know, he has lost pretty much all of his eyesight at this point. And that's a combination of cataracts and also just his diabetes, you know, damaging his eyes. And so, you know, this is 2024, which means that he is eligible for parole this year. And so that is really one of two paths to his possible freedom right now. And so, you know, Kevin and different individuals and teams are working and preparing, you know, for that to give Leonard the best possible chance at that parole hearing. The Federal Parole Commission is a 5-seat commission. Only 2 of those seats are currently filled. Yes. So, and that's something that is like an executive filled position. So President Biden could actually fill those positions through his nominations. And then, so the other path possible for Leonard's freedom currently is compassionate release. And there is a compassionate release petition right now filed in the BOP, so the Bureau of Prisons. And then, but that also has to go through the Department of Justice and still eventually would go to that same Federal Parole Commission. So either way, you know, parole hearing or compassionate release petition, both have to go through that same Parole Commission committee that only has 2 seats currently filled. So I think just putting, well, of course, like continued pressure on the Biden administration, and, you know, just as much support as possible and prayers that this parole hearing or compassionate release works, because the reality of the situation is he's 80 years old. And if something doesn't happen or something doesn't give, this is like his last chance. He's not going to get another parole hearing. He's not going to have time for another compassionate release petition to move through the system. Like, this is it. It's now or never for Leonard Peltier.
Wow. Rachel, co-founder, Rachel Thunder, co-founder of Indigenous Protector Movement. Thank you so much for that update, and take care. And we got to get you on more often. I know you're busy with the new one, and I was a little disappointed you didn't name your baby Bobby, but that's another show.
Roberta.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Well,
all right. Thank you, Robert, and thanks, Haley.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon, Rachel. All right. Hey, switching gears here now. We have a guest here, and you know what's exciting is we have so many listeners in Wisconsin, and so when I saw Christy, I go, wow, we got to get you on the show, once I realized what Christy does. And we had a great conversation at the Capitol in Wisconsin. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good. You look good. And perfect lighting. I don't know how you do it. I'm
ghosted out. You know.
Cool.
Oh, Robert, what an amazing, like, for me to follow Rachel Thunder, whew. That's big. I mean, I have huge amounts of respect for her and her work and her years of dedication. So, wow. Go Rachel. Thank you for all you do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all you do too, because I want you to talk about what you got going on in Wisconsin and what you're doing for people that are less fortunate than a lot of us. And that's, I'm going to give you, you know, the next segment and a half to really push out what you're doing and how people can support you.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I'm just really excited to be here for one, and love your show. Love your messaging. This platform's so important. I'm the executive director of Bikes for Kids Wisconsin. We were formerly known as Free Bikes for Kids Madison. We did our first bike giveaway program back in 2017. as Free Bikes for Kids. And Free Bikes for Kids was a chapter of a national organization, and it was centered around this bike giveaway program. So the model was a 10-week bike giveaway program, kind of this fast and furious, collect a lot of donated bikes, and then refurbish them over the winter and then give them away in the spring. And I've been here, I think my 4-year anniversary is April 24th, so just a couple of weeks away. And we've changed a lot. And really, I think a lot of that had to do with bringing in someone like myself who has lived with less, who has relied on a bicycle, not for just for recreation and a hobby, but for a lifeline. So we really pivoted a lot during the pandemic. And we are now, we just changed our name here in December because we're doing so much more. We have an array of programming to support the people who receive our bicycles. And we've given away over 10,000 bikes here in just a few weeks. That number, Robert, that number is going to be almost 13,000 bicycles here in just a few weeks. So I'm kind of running on adrenaline right now because we got a lot going on and we're very excited about our bike giveaway program happening here.
Well, let's talk a little bit from our end. Well, maybe first we can talk about who gets the bikes, and then let's talk a little bit about how people can support Bikes for Kids Wisconsin.
Fantastic. You know, I often say we're in the business of collecting donated bicycles from the public, refurbishing them, and then pumping them out into the under the butts of people who need them. Mm-hmm. So we're not in the business of determining who gets them. So we've got this brilliant system of doing a call for applicants. And those are other 501c3 organizations serving marginalized people and their public schools. So in November through January, they can apply to receive up to 100 bicycles, each organization. This year, we are serving 37 organizations. And they will register the bicyclists or the recipients. You'll see my dog insisting on a cameo appearance here.
We're dog friendly here and cat friendly for sure. We have visitors every show, so that's no big deal. Our listeners are used to it.
Great. Thank you for making me not be like, I must shut him up. So these folks register and they determine who the recipients are. Some of the misunderstandings of our program, I think, is some people think, oh, we get all these donated bikes from the public and, you know, they're free to us. We just turn around and give them away. That couldn't be further from the truth. I wish it was that easy, but these are vehicles in the state of Wisconsin. They have to be fully tuned up by professional mechanics and be very safe for our recipients. So we touch these bikes so many times, just moving them around, and our volunteers cleaning them, and our mechanics prepping them, or, you know, tuning them up, and then another quality control check. So it's a lot of effort that goes into this, but it's just such critical, wonderful work. So, here in the next two, so it's April 27th and May 4th, we'll do our bike giveaway events. We'll give away about 450 bikes on each of those days. Wow. And then the rest of the folks receive our bikes through, so those folks will come in person and they get this incredible experience where we fit them with a helmet.
Yeah.
They get to for their bicycle. We have all these people who are, you know, the biking geeks of Madison, who are helping them pick a bike that works really well for them, giving them support and learning to ride if they need it, and helping them set up their combo locks and all of those different pieces. And then the other way we have, so we just had someone from the Great Lakes Inner Tribal Council come with a bulk load. So she was heading up to Bad River, and she came with a truck, which we filled with bikes and helmets. And then she took them up there. And then the rest are through a voucher program that we use to give bikes away on an as-needed basis through the year. And those are like through food pantries or the local job center.
Hey, Christy, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and then get maybe a little deeper into the nuts and bolts and how people can support you. But wow, I'm just sitting here going, wow, every time you say the statistics, and I was going to ask you about helmets, and you're just filling our hearts out here, the work you do. And I want to hear a little more after this break.
Sounds good.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Arizona Supreme Court has paved the way for a civil era ban on abortion to become law.
We continue to live under an unacceptable ban, a law that still strips Arizonans of their personal autonomy and has no exceptions for women who are the victims of rape or incest or any regard for pregnancy complications.
Governor Katie Hobbs calls the ruling draconian. Vice President Harris met today with the families of several Americans who were taken hostage by Hamas on October 7th. In an interview with Univision, meanwhile, President Biden appeared to call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza without tying it to a hostage deal. Japan's prime minister is in Washington. He's going to meet with the president tomorrow, and he'll attend a state dinner tomorrow night. Federal court has ruled that California can set its own strictest in the nation vehicle emission standards. Stocks closed mixed today. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden says his new student loan forgiveness plan would cancel tens of thousands of dollars in interest for Americans who can prove hardship cases. He called it a ticket to the middle class in Madison Monday.
I think we all in this room share one goal. Give everybody a fair shot. Just a shot. Freedom to chase their dreams.
Republicans call the plan a desperate attempt to buy votes. Wisconsin's longest-serving state senator is calling it quits. Republican Rob Coles of Green Bay says he'll retire instead of run for re-election now that his newly redrawn district is more favorable to Democrats. Coles is 73 years old. He was first elected to the Senate in 1987 after 4 years in the Assembly. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the low 40s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high upper 60s to 70. Clouds return, becoming breezy with showers likely Thursday. High in the upper 50s, the wind could gust as high as 40 miles an hour. Right now, it's 53.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Wisconsin's Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week is now. Be ready for statewide tornado drills on Thursday, April 11th at 1:45 and 6:45. So wherever you may be, at school, work, or home with your family, this is the time time to talk about your tornado and severe weather safety plans, and muscle memory is key in an emergency. Remember that a watch means a storm, tornado, or flooding is possible. The ingredients are there, and a warning is issued when one of those is about to or already is happening. Take shelter immediately. Our state averages close to 25 tornadoes between May and August, but recent records have been broken with tornadoes now tearing through the month of February, so it pays to always be weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
News Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Holman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, O'Keezy, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th, off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, good read, Chujunk. We are here with Christy Goforth of Bikes for Kids Wisconsin, and wow, what an organization, and what a great simple idea that sounds pretty complicated, but to pull it all together. But wow, what a great idea! Welcome back.
Thank you. You know, I think being in Dane County, Wisconsin, it's a huge bike community. So there are so many bikes in this community, and you know, if any of you have kids, every year it's like your kid has outgrown their bike. So, you know, if it doesn't get passed through, then you've got to find someone else who needs it. And so we get a lot of those turned in. It's incredible the number of bikes we have in our shop right now. It's pretty amazing to see.
So do you have volunteers tuning these up then? And that's a lot of work too.
Yeah, it is. It is. Our volunteers mostly are doing the cleaning and getting them ready for our professional mechanics, who are paid staff to do mm-hmm. that, you know, make sure they're completely refurbished and tuned up. But we have some incredible volunteers. They're incredibly dedicated. It's a small army, I'll tell you that. It's, I would say, actively during the week, it's probably about 30 to 40 regulars. And then we're managing about 120 volunteers in all through this program.
Wow. Well, I think a politician would love a team like that to help get the vote out. My goodness.
Oh, if only, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, how can people donate? Especially, we have listeners all over the country, but we're on 18 stations here in Wisconsin. How can people, one, support you financially? Where can they find your website or Facebook?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'll give a shout out quick to David. I saw it was on listening in Virginia, a couple of our volunteers who've recently nice. Donated. You can find us at bikesforkidswi.org, and it's really easy to find a place to donate. So you can donate financially. Like I said, we like to give away a helmet. We like to give away a lock and a set of lights as well, because those safety accessories, number one, you're supposed to have a headlight according to the state law. And we have talked to brown and black people who've been pulled over by police for not having a bike light on.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, that wouldn't happen to white people, but it does happen to others. So it happens to some of the people we serve. So that's important. And then a lock, of course, to keep your bike secure so you can use it reliably. We did struggle with fundraising this year, and I don't think we're unusual in that. I think this the rise in the cost of living has made it so a lot of people don't have funds available to donate. So anything you can give is super helpful. It costs us about $135 for each of those bike packages to go out. Mm-hmm. And we're doing about 2,000 a year. So that's about 270,000. And you'll see our fundraising. I think, less than 100,000 right now, which, what that means is we had to cut out the lights this year. So we're not giving lights, and we're only able to give away 200 locks that we were able to pay for. We did. We were able to cover the helmets, though. So that's great.
Christy, Christy, you know what I do for my other job, right?
I don't.
Oh, you don't. I am a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation. That's my real job.
Please
shoot me an email, because maybe we can do something as legislators for you.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, that's why I was hanging around the Capitol, because
that makes sense.
I was working. Now it makes sense, right? What's this guy from Minnesota doing here?
You know, so can I share a quick story? Do we have time
Absolutely.
For a story?
Yes.
You know, so when we were in the process of our, you know, strategic planning and rebranding from Free Bikes for Kids Madison, serving primarily Madison and Dane County, to going Bikes for Kids Wisconsin, we needed to figure out a way to do that manageably. We are a staff of three people. You wouldn't even believe it, but we're getting a lot done with not a lot of resources. And so in August, I went up to the Minocqua area. It was Manitowish Waters. A friend here loaned me their cabin, and I just needed a break. And so I took my bike up there, enjoyed the incredible bicycling up there. I haven't been on a res in Wisconsin in about 10 years. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to ride over to the Lac des Flambeaux and see how the res is looking. So I go over, and, you know, I saw the beautiful Ojibwe market. I saw the beautiful sculpture in front of the casino by artist Jean Telcourt. And, but I saw some kids just sitting on the curb, and they're just like drawing in the dirt with sticks and throwing rocks, nothing to do. Here it is summer, you know, kids should be out riding bikes. And I started looking around the res, and I only saw one man on a bicycle, and it was a beater. And so I was like, you know what, they need bikes here, because the bicycling infrastructure up there is incredible. And I had noticed as a Ojibwe woman and a biker, and I notice everyone when I'm biking, like, how many people am I seeing that are not white, you know, or don't appear to be white? Right. And it's not a lot, really. And even here in Dane County. And so I head over to the tribal office, and there's a vestibule filled with literature. And I was just going to try to find one business card to make that connection. And this lovely woman comes out, and she says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Oh yeah, you know, I wasn't going to bother you, but I had my Free Bikes for Kids t-shirt on." And I said, "I'm with this organization, and we give bicycles away. And, you know, I'm also a member of the Sioux Tribe in Michigan, and I'm feeling like you need bikes here." And she's like, "We would love bicycles." Her name was Jan. And so I told her, I gave her my card. She immediately connected me to Suzette with the Great Lakes Intertribal Council. And that's how that all came about. And so when I came back home, I thought, this is how we tackle becoming a statewide organization. Is one of the ways we can identify populations in need is through reservations and tribal populations. You know, so that's kind of how we're tackling that now. And then we're partnering with some organizations like Habitat for Humanity. You know, they have many chapters throughout the state. So we'll be giving bikes to Habitat for Humanity Wausau. They're home recipients. We'll find beautiful bicycles in the garage as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Give one more shout out to how people can contact you. And I want you to shoot me an email, too, after this, so we can maybe talk. Because that's awesome work you're doing in the state of Wisconsin.
Great. Yeah. BikesForKidsWI.org. And yeah, anything you can do to help, every little bit helps. It costs us $10 for a helmet. So we buy 2,000 helmets a year. So you can see the costs add up quickly, even though the bikes are donated. And I'll tell you, these bikes are incredible. Like, the quality over the 4 years since I've been here has really jumped, and it's very nice bicycles. So it's wonderful to see the generosity of people here.
Wow, Christy, great story, and we got to have you on again for an update. Really awesome. I want to just say a big peeny geeky thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Hey, we got another guest here, and we are talking to Janice Denny, a Metro State University Students Success Coordinator. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hello. How's everyone?
Good. We're just doing our show here, and now you're the next special guest, and I'd really love to hear what's going on at the Metro State University here in Minnesota.
Okay, I started Metro State University in October of last year, so I'm relatively a new employee, and I still feel that way. I'm still learning, and but I am not new to education. I have maybe 25 years in higher education experience. I started at American Indian OIC years ago, which is a job training program, and at the time it was a business school. And from there, I was hired by Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College to direct their urban outreach program, which was housed at Augsburg College. And a lot of people don't know about that program, but we offered a two-year program, an AA degree. Mm-hmm. And there were, you know, it started out from like just a box of office supplies and built that program up. And we graduated, you know, a number of students from there. And out of that program, we also did a prison program where we took our classes into three prisons in Minnesota. And that was really successful. Students who came out of those incarcerated students, they came to our program afterwards and, you know, I actually went on to school, you know, to earn bachelor's degrees.
Wow.
I was really proud of that. And then from there, Fond du Lac closed, our site closed because, you know, they had lack of funding and, you know, that sort of thing. And so then I was hired by Minneapolis College. It was Minneapolis Community and Technicology at the time, but it's Minneapolis College now. And I worked there for 8 years as I was hired as an academic advisor. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into, when they changed that role into the American Indian Success Coordinator there. And that's the same role I have now at Metro State University. So, And so I met a lot of Native students over the years, and I've kept in contact with them. And I know that when I was working at Minneapolis College, I couldn't reach them by telephone or email. And that's how I got, that's how I got on Facebook, basically. And I sent messages through Facebook and they answered me right away. I said, all right. So
now you got to get on, Instagram. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't keep up. We only got a couple of minutes left in the segment here, but I'd love to hear more. And tell me about, since joining Metro State this fall, what stands out to you about the university?
Okay. The one thing that stood out for me when I started work at Metro State University was, I heard these three terms, equity, inclusion, and anti-racism, in the interview when I was interviewed. And I kind of like, they were new terms to me. But as I, you know, went through my, you know, through the weeks at Metro State when I started there, I realized, you know, what they meant by this. And the main thing that stood out to me was our MARA program, which is a multicultural American Indian retention services. And the coordinators that work for that program are very devoted to their students. I've noticed that. And that was the one thing that really stood out to me was that.
Awesome. And all of the programming. We're going to take a quick break and talk some more. Really, thanks, Janice. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we're with Janice Denny, Metro State University Student Success Coordinator. We'll be right back.
Bye. Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
Ow.
Well, we are here with Janice Denny, Metro State University Student Success Coordinator, and we were talking a little bit about how Metro State really is committed to equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. We're really happy to have you on here and happy to hear that.
Yes. I know that when Metro, when students come into Metro State, pretty much are transfer students, and so they're kind of familiar. They've gone to college before, mm-hmm. but the services that are offered at Metro State University, especially for my program, which is Native program, is they have provided a space, a special space for Native students. They're called Native Circle Space, and it's a separate area. Actually, it's a room where they can study, they can do homework there, and they provide a coffee and microwave and all that sort of thing, snacks and all that sort of thing in there. And I think that's one of the things that the students really enjoy the most there. And yes. I know that the flexibility, affordability, and even transferability, meaning transferring credits, is one of the things that students look at when they are looking for colleges. And when I worked at Minneapolis College, many of the students there transferred into Metro State just because of those things.
Wow.
And and then we have also assisted students with, the financial aid process as well. And in the fall of 2024, Minnesota is offering the North Star Promise Scholarship, which provides free tuition for students. And there are going to be a lot of students that are eligible for that. Really all they have to do is fill out a FAFSA application, the free application for federal student aid, and that's it. And the financial aid determines the award from there. And so we're all kind of excited about that. So,
yeah, I love Metro State because mm-hmm. like you have people from 15 to 85 years old
right.
and people feel comfortable about being at the campus and coming right. back and being a lifelong learner too.
Exactly. A lot of the classes are part-time and many of them are online too as well. Of course, that stems from COVID,
mm-hmm.
but it works out for students who are working adults, and
yeah.
it has worked out very well. And I've really enjoyed my time so far there and looking forward to, new things happening. And I really enjoy the programming that's done there as well. I've taken part in like the open house, Spring Fest. Culture Day is Thursday. Looking forward to that.
Wow.
And we're going to be wearing traditional outfits and having our cultural food and those kinds of things. And so that should be kind of exciting, actually. I'm looking forward to it.
Can you talk a little deeper about the North Star Promise Scholarship?
Yeah, it's going to, like I said, it's going to be starting in the fall of 2024. And to be eligible, you have to be a Minnesota resident. You have to fill out the FAFSA application. The income guidelines are you need to be below $80,000 per year. And many of our students are below that. and you can't be in default of a student loan, and you have to be enrolled in a college, working toward a degree, taking at least one credit. So, and of course, you have to be, you know, you have to meet the satisfactory academic progress as well to be eligible. And you have, and you should be working toward a bachelor's degree. It's a new program, and it's very exciting because, you know, it's free tuition. And hopefully, you know, many of our students will apply for it, or actually they don't have to apply for it. As long as they do the FAFSA, that's really all they have to do. So there should be that should come out, you know, pretty well for students next year.
Is the North Star Promise, is that for first time students going to get their bachelor's, or can this be a second time student coming to get their second
degree? No, it can be a second time student. Yes.
As long as you're
working toward a bachelor's degree. Yes.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Haley.
And our program, the merit program, we also work with veterans. So, you know, our veterans is part of our program as well.
That's so important. Yeah, you know, what do you tell someone that's thinking about going back to college? Because I know I went back to college at a later year in life, and I had super support from my wife. Tell us what you would say to someone that's just thinking about it.
Well, I would say, just from personal experience working with younger students, you know, take it slow. You know, don't take too many classes at once. And for the most part, students who come to Metro State University have, they've already know what their goal is. They already have a major in mind. It wasn't like that at Minneapolis College. Many of them didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so when they come into Metro State U, then they know what they're, you know, they know whether they want to be in nursing or, you know, accounting or whatever it is. And so, you know, we encourage students to, you know, take part in everything, you know, as much as they can. And they are busy, and we realize that as well. But, you know, there's a lot of services that are offered, and they should take advantage of that. Really good services and very helpful services. You know, not only our merit program, but the entire college.
Well, I'm reading here, Metro State offers many student services like multicultural and American Indian retention services. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That sounds like a mouthful, but it really sounds like something that really needs to be happening.
Yeah, that's our program. That's where I work for the MER program, and we do cultural programming. And the coordinators work with Black African students, Latinx, Asian and Pacific Islanders, LGBTQ students, and Native students and veterans. Mm-hmm. And so we take part, we do our own cultural programming. And so so each coordinator does their own part in programming. So as you can see, there's like six of us, six coordinators. And so there's a lot of things going on at Metro State. It's almost every week there's something going on. And it also includes food, cultural food too. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so it's, you know, we celebrate our students. You know, that's what we do. We do graduation celebrations. We have like, MER has a semester jam where it's just like celebrating students, just students getting together and getting to know each other. And that's really important. Because students will come to school, you know, if they're not taking classes, you know, in person, they're doing online, so they don't really get to see or know each other. But if they ever have time to come to one of these events, you know, they get to know each other. And then we also have a student, it's like a student club, and each of us have, we lead the student clubs. And so that's another way to get involved. You know, it's like, you know, having a president, vice president, treasurer, and a secretary. And so we're actually organized that way. And the student clubs can also request their own funds for funding and whatever kind of, events they like to have besides just the programming from Metro State.
Well, so, yeah, that's really important. This is really all exciting news. I want to, before we get off the air here, I want to talk about what's happening this Saturday at 9 a.m. Some events are happening up there right now, a graduate program preview day. Tell us a little bit about that and what people have to be prepared for.
Yeah, on April 13th, this Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock, I think it goes from 9 until noon, There's a graduate program preview day. And this is for students who are graduating either with a four-year degree or certificate program. And what they do is prepare these students for for the end of their schooling at Metro State. And it's really, they get to meet, it's actually not the end, but actually the beginning, I should say. And they get to meet, like expert faculties, advisors, staff, and some of the current graduate students will come in also, to give a brief presentation or answer any questions as well. So, and that's the one thing that I really appreciate about Metro is that they do this programming specifically for students, for whatever, whatever helps and supports them. And it's really important because students really need a lot of support. I know Native students need a lot of support, but all students really do.
Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse.